Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Over? Nothing is over until we decide it is.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Joe Brand.
After a couple of nights with plenty of offense, we find none from the Chicago Blackhawks tonight as they get shut out by the LA Kings 5-0. Kings picking up a very important 2 points in their playoff hunt as they win the first matchup between these two teams on the season series. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight as we recap this 5-0 loss to the LA Kings. First loss of the homestand for the Hawks. They were searching for 3 straight wins, but couldn't quite get it today. Found themselves in a 4-0 hole early in the first period. Pulled their goaltender, saw a different play in their game towards the end of the first period, but never was quite enough to get back on the offensive trend that we saw from the past couple of nights. Our pal Troy Murray was on the call with John Weideman tonight up on the 7th floor of the United Center. And Troy, just not what you were kind of hoping for with all the offense we saw. 7 goals in back-to-back games, no goals tonight. L.A. came out with a jump, though, and it seemed like the Hawks weren't ready. And unfortunately, just kind of another situation where this team can't be in that type of position because it's very difficult one to claw yourself out of.
Just not, for whatever reason, prepared to play the game. And L.A., after losing in St. Louis, and you heard some of the comments from L.A. that they weren't happy with the way they played in that game. St. Louis was excited about what they did. And I think the L.A. Kings, you know, really came determined to win this game. And again, you know, you talk about teams that are in the playoff hunt or hoping to get into the postseason. You got to think that these are the games that you have to win. And I think the L.A. Kings had that mentality early on. You know, Jared Tenorti takes a holding penalty, and, you know, that happens. But the L.A. Kings capitalized on the power play right away, and that was kind of the difference. A tough night for Arvid Soderblom, who really just couldn't get it going tonight and just didn't seem like the defense in front of him were helping him out a whole lot. So frustrating night all around in this game, for sure, for everybody.
It was definitely an important 2 points for the Kings to pick up. They now have 79. They're still in third place in the Pacific Division, but they separate themselves from the Vegas Golden Knights a little bit more by 2 points. And, this is an eager team, Troy. I was watching them earlier last week in an overtime game against the Ottawa Senators. I think an overtime that they kind of willed towards, and then in OT they were just very aggressive in trying to get that finishing goal, which they finally got. I mean, you mentioned the coaching change at the beginning of the broadcast. It's definitely a team that's putting themselves in a really good position to make the playoffs right now.
Yeah, they started to waver. They got off to a tough start at home, but excellent on the road. And then they kind of just started to play about average hockey, and Todd McClellan was let go. He's an excellent coach, but sometimes you just need to have a different voice inside the room. Jim Hiller takes over. He's 11-6-1 now. And I just think that, you know, this is a team that just needed a little bit of a wake-up call maybe. They're a good team. You look at the way that their roster is structured. They went out and made a big move in the offseason to pick up Pierre-Luc Dubois, who's got 15 goals. He had a goal in this game tonight, but he needs to be a difference maker. The LA Kings gave up, you know, two specific trades, Fiala from Minnesota and Dubois to Winnipeg. They lost a lot of their assets, and they gave up some really Brock Faber, who's in competition with Connor Bedard. For the Calder Trophy, was one of the players that you gave away in the trade to get Fiala, and a first round pick in 21 as well. So, you know, they gave up a lot for a win now mentality. And when they picked up Dubois, they've got Dubois, Dano, and Kopitar down the middle. If Dubois plays well, that gives them as good a trio down the middle of any group in the NHL, and that's kind of what they were hoping for. When you look at the big matchups in the Western Conference, there's some big centers, and you have to have at least 1, 2, if not 3, really good centers, and the LA Kings have that right now, and they just need to find their rhythm. It seems like, you know, in tonight's game they were excellent, and They played great. I thought that they did exactly what they needed to do. They took the life out of the building. If you go back to the beginning of the game, though, before L.A. scored their first goal, Athanasiou gets in all alone. He's one-on-one on Cam Talbot. If he scores there, you know, this place is buzzing, and you just never know what happens. Talbot comes up with that big save, and for the Blackhawks, Otterbloom couldn't find that big save early on, and then it just started to rack up 3:10, 5.5, 8:03, and 14:19, the four goals that they scored in the first period. So they kind of started to come fast and furious, and after that, Luke Richardson kind of had to call the mercy rule and switch to Peter Mrazek, who was solid after that. But you also have to factor in that L.A. was completely controlling the scoreboard.
Yeah, and you know, going back to Sutterbloom's performance today, as we had mentioned, I mean, there was enough blame to go around. The Hawks having a really tough time with the back door opening for L.A. That burned them a couple of times in the first period. And whether or not there was some defensive breakdowns, maybe Sutterbloom doesn't have to play as far out and creating so many open lanes for the Kings then to find these open shots.
He just, in my opinion, kind of has to have a better awareness of what's going on around him. And again, I just use the term spidey senses. If you feel that there's somebody on your back door, and you know, you should be able to, as a goaltender, kind of picture in your mind where everybody is. And if you feel that backside pressure, you just might have to back in a little bit, not get out so far that if something doesn't happen the way you see it happen, you have an opportunity to get back in. Even on the first one that came hard off the backboards on the power play goal. Was it the power play goal?
Yes, it
was.
Yeah,
it was the power play goal. He didn't seem to have his angle, and he was a little bit too far out and reacted a little bit slow to get back into his net there. And then some backdoor plays that certainly have to be covered better defensively than they were, but at the same time, you know, you got to kind of try and help your defense every now and then when those plays happen. Not easy. It's difficult, and the LA Kings were able to pick the Blackhawks apart in that first period.
Well, frustrating night, pal, but it is still St. Patrick's Day weekend, and there's still one more game to be played, and there's a nice, fun little buzz in the building during these games, so hopefully against maybe a little bit of a lesser opponent in the San Jose Sharks, and the Hawks can get back to that strong offense we saw against teams like Arizona and Anaheim.
Well, they've won 2 out of 3 so far. This was disappointing, but you do have that last one on this homestand before you take off, and you play the 3 on the road against the exact same teams that you just played 3 games here at the United Center. So kind of an unusual little twist in the schedule. But they need to be better, and I think that they will be come Sunday at 5:00. And you know, we'll see what happens. But they're going to be disappointed, and the bad thing is they're going to have to sit with this one all weekend.
Well, I would say talk to you on Sunday, pal. But you're going to go play Mr. TV Star.
Yeah, that's right. I wasn't even thinking about that. I think actually the next 2 games I'm going to be on the TV broadcast. Darren Pang, he's got to probably golf somewhere or something like that.
He's got to walk his dog, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, but I am doing the next 2 in L.A. on Tuesday and San Jose here on Sunday. So good luck with John on the call here on Sunday.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it.
Who's going to do all the intermission and posts and everything?
Well, you know, we got a rotating cast. I believe Kevin Wells is going to be Sunday, and then I think our own Jack Heinrich is going to be on Tuesday.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. You'll get a break. You'll see how easy it is on my side of the equation.
I'm already sweating.
Oh, yeah, I've heard you. You're good.
thank you. That's one person's opinion. But, yeah, no, we got a deep roster here. Kevin Wells, Jack Heinrich, and Kevin Powell is going to help out, too.
Awesome.
So it'll be good. Yeah, you got your makeup ready?
No, I'm going to need a lot of it.
You got your comb ready?
That hurt.
Oh, you've made that joke. That's the only reason why.
I know.
All right, well, then get out of here before I hurt your feelings even more.
Yeah, I'm delicate.
All right, pal, great stuff. We'll see you on Sunday, though, even if we don't get to talk to you.
Yeah, we're going to be right close, right down the booth here.
Yeah, just don't forget all us little radio people when you're over there, Mr. TV Star.
Well, remind me.
Yeah, I will. Once I deliver your caviar, I'll give you the reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, pal, we'll talk to you.
All right, good job, Joe.
Likewise. That is Troy Murray. He and John Weideman on the call tonight as the Hawks get shut out by the LA Kings 5-0 here at the United Center. Their first loss on the homestand. Their two-game winning streak comes to an end. It would have been the first three-game winning streak for the Hawks, but definitely a tough opponent against the LA Kings. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to chime in, you can call or you could text. From the 708 area code, what are you guys talking about? Seven goals in the last two games against non-playoff teams. The Hawks are who we thought they were. In rebuilding mode, they have a long way to go. It's time to let the young potential players a chance to play. Ugh. Okay, a lot of thoughts there. I don't think we were saying by any means we were surprised, but I mean, listen, there's a pretty big difference when you score seven goals in back-to-back games and then get shut out. I mean, regardless of the opponents, I know it happens. I know this isn't the first time the Hawks have been shut out this year, but still, you thought that with the success that's been on the power play and just with the success that's been in the offense overall, you thought that would carry over into tonight with at least, I don't know, maybe one goal, but just not in the Stars tonight. And there was not the best start by Arvid Soderblom, but there really wasn't the best start by the Hawks overall in general. Just a lot of missed situations. They kept getting burned backdoor, kind of leaving Soderblom out to dry a lot of different times. But unfortunately, it is a two-way street because some of the same tendencies. Soderblom kind of playing out of net. I think his rebound control was probably a little bit better today, even though, I mean, a very, very small sample size. I think he finished with 14 saves in the first 10 minutes or so. But still, as Troy had mentioned and has mentioned a lot this year, one of the crucial things that Soderblom's been missing is that big save. He had that in the Arizona game two contests ago. I don't remember exactly who it was on, but he had a big save in the middle of the game that kind of just changes things. It gives a boost of energy for your team. It denies the other team, and it kind of turns into a two-goal swing. And that was given to Cam Talbot, or I should say that was earned by Cam Talbot tonight, denying Andreas Athanasiou in the early going. I still have really liked the buzz to Athanasiou's game. He seems to have not missed a beat, even though he's been off the ice since, I should say, not playing in a game since November, his first game being back in the previous game for the Hawks. He's brought the speed once again. The puck handling skills are still there, weaving through traffic, generating chances. There just seems to be a lot more complete package to his game. Yeah, only in two contests, a small showing, but it's good to see that from him because we did see a little bit of that being inconsistent last year until the end of the season when he really picked things up and ended up leading the team in terms of goals towards the end of the year. Here from the 317 area code, worst part of the game was not seeing you eat a horseradish donut. If you happen to see a couple games ago, there is a food fusion contest on the video board, and I was once a contestant on it, and yeah, had to eat a donut with horseradish. But thank you, 317. Again, 312-981-7200 if you'd like to chime in. Landon Slaggart's first game tonight, can't really pull too much from it, although thought he looked good early on, getting involved in a lot of plays, being aggressive in a lot of plays, and kind of doing the things that Luke Richardson wanted to see him do. Talking about the adjustment to the NHL, how quickly that comes, how much stronger it is when Slaggart, being a four-year college guy, can probably do whatever he wants to do with the puck, whenever he wants to do with it, doesn't get that luxury here in the NHL. And it didn't seem like he was too far behind in terms of keeping up with the pace, keeping up with the game. He did not factor in on a plus-minus. He played 10-32. That might have had something to do with it. Finished with two shot attempts, one blocked, one missed, one hit, and two blocked shots. So hopefully for him, we get to see a bigger sample size. The other thing to point out, Lucas Reichel is reportedly coming back to Chicago. In fact, the media is talking with Luke Richardson right now. I'm sure that question was posed to him. But on Twitter of Cap Friendly, it's the website that shows you all the different teams' contracts and where every team lays out for the next couple of years. It's a very useful site. In fact, I feel like we should give them some pub. Again, that's cap-friendly. If you go to capfriendly.com, it can just tell you everything you want to know about every team's contract. They tweeted out that Lucas Reichel was recalled to the NHL roster. And if I look at it right now, yeah, he is on the active NHL roster. So there's a chance we could see Lucas Reichel, I would say, as early as Sunday. Nothing has been officially announced from the team. Once we do get official word on that, we will share that with you. But that's something to keep in mind, too. Landon Slaggart was an easy fit in the roster today because Reese Johnson is currently on concussion protocol, so the Hawks didn't have to make any transactions to fit him in. If Lucas Reichel comes to town, then something has to be changed again. And when Reese Johnson comes off of concussion protocol, then now you're talking about people missing out on lineup spots. So all of this coming down to the wire in the final month of this regular season. Also keep in mind that we could see Frank Nazar towards the end of the year. That's a possibility as he is still playing with the Michigan Wolverines, so we'll keep an eye on that as well. We've got more to get to, but I do want to take your calls and take your texts. 312-981-7200. Our partner, or rather a reporter, he's our partner too, Jack Heinrich is getting sound from the Blackhawks dressing room, and the head coach, Luke Richardson, so we'll hopefully get that soon as well. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 5-0 tonight. We're talking about it here on the postgame show. Come join us, 312-981-7200. Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Carries through the high slot, behind the back pass to the left point to Pierre-Luc Dubois. Put it into the left wing corner. Alex Ferriere there. Shot the puck behind the Hawk net, right corner. Deneau. Now Deneau at the right point. Soft toss to the high slot. The Spence fires a shot. They score off the rebound. The Karen came out into the left wing circle, and there was Pierre-Luc Dubois to snap it past Arvid Soderblom. He didn't have very much room, but boy, he hit a bullseye. Power play goal, 1-0 LA.
We're still waiting for a Blackhawks goal tonight. 5-0, the LA Kings shut out the Hawks. Cam Talbot, LA's goaltender, with 28 saves in this one. With the loss, the Hawks fall to 18-44-5. LA improves to 34-21-11. Again, they're helping their playoff chances, currently in third place in the Pacific Division, now 2 points ahead of the Vegas Golden Knights, and separate themselves to the next closest team in the Minnesota Wild. Again, LA holding that third final spot in the Pacific Division, but the Vegas Golden Knights in the same division, just 2 points behind Vegas, holding the bottom wild card spot. So then, yes, the next closest team is a Central Division team in the Minnesota Wild. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight. 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join us. From the 708 area code, who were the healthy scratches in tonight's game? There really were none, but again, Lucas Reichel was a scratch. That was kind of news to us because we got the sheet of the official lineup, and you see Lucas Reichel's name on there as a scratch, even though he's been down in Rockford. And a reporter, Jack Heinrich, actually just returned. We should be getting sound pretty soon from the Blackhawks dressing room and Luke Richardson, but just a quick heads up that Luke Richardson did confirm Lucas Reichel returning to the Blackhawks roster. So maybe keep an eye out for him to rejoin the lineup on Sunday against the San Jose Sharks. That'll be interesting to see how the rest of this lineup starts to work out. And again, keep in mind that Frank Nazar could possibly join the team later on this month, or at least whenever the Michigan season comes to an end. This is full speculation. Just judging by how quickly the Hawks were to pulling up Landon Slaggart and getting him with a professional contract and in an NHL game, can only imagine that it would be the same for Frank Nazar. From the 608 area code, definitely got a chuckle out of this one. You know it's a rough night when John Hansen is the most fun part of the night, but sometimes he is. Great show. I love listening on the way home. No offense to John. Haha, thank you, 608. I agree. John Hansen and Jenna Rose put on such a great show. And just the environment of the United Center is a lot of fun, too. It's unfortunate when the Hawks play doesn't get to complement that because there was a buzz to the building tonight. St. Patrick's Day weekend, I've mentioned before, these are my favorite games at the UC during the regular season. The game right before Christmas is my all-time favorite. The St. Patrick's Day games are probably 1B. It's typically only been one St. Patrick's Day game, but I think because the Hawks have two games this weekend, it's full on out with green and Irish dancers and Irish music from tonight and Sunday, so should be expecting the same type of festivities on Sunday against the San Jose Sharks. Just to point out again, I mean, San Jose comes to town on Sunday. The Hawks were able to take care of business against Arizona twice in a row, against Anaheim. Clearly a different game tonight against the LA Kings. Let's see how they do against San Jose. Earlier in the year, we saw this Hawks team still struggling against weaker opponents. It was nice to see a nice change of pace with them ending the losing skid on the road by beating Arizona and then carrying that into the next matchup against Arizona here at home as well, and then carrying that into the Anaheim game also. I mentioned before, last year, these were some of the best games played by the Hawks this last month of the season because they were starting to find their groove. They had moved on from Patrick Kane. Jonathan Toews had been out for quite some time, and they were just finding a distinct way to play and play against good teams. I mean, we saw the big upset against the Boston Bruins last year. We saw them basically eliminate the Pittsburgh Penguins towards the end of the regular season. All that was done on hard work and full team effort. We've seen that bits and pieces in these last couple of wins, but they're still having a tough time against the really strong opponents and the LA Kings. And by no means are we expecting them to win all of these games against these playoff teams, but you would like to see at least a better start. I mean, the start is one of the most daunting things for this team right now. It's not every game, but you would like to see that consistency. Last year, it was a much different situation. It seemed like the Hawks were always getting off on the right foot and, for the most part, playing every game competitively and keeping it tight towards the end. A lot of two-goal losses because they were maybe down by a goal, have to pull the goalie and then cough up the empty net. You're seeing a lot more widely separated losses from the Hawks this year, and I think a big reason of that is off to the starts that they've gotten to. It hasn't been great. We've talked to Luke Richardson about that before, and part of it is the youth on this roster. I think that's probably the biggest factor because you are relying on so many young guys, but you do have to also factor in all the players that they didn't have at the beginning of the year, or I should say, I don't know, a couple of weeks in, Taylor Hall going down full-time, Corey Perry getting kicked off the team, and then just the merry-go-round of injuries they started to sustain. But it's good to see guys like Athanasiou back to work their way into this offense more consistently and more fluidly, and you kind of get a better idea of what you got in those guys and in those types of players. And hopefully Landon Slaggart's here to stay. Hopefully Lucas Reichel can carry some of the success that he's had down in Rockford up here at the NHL level, and that'll work on for the rest of the month, the rest of the regular season. That could be a big difference in Lucas Reichel's entire season and his entire development, too. I mean, he's coming up to a contract year, and it could play a big factor in where the Hawks see him. I do still think that they've got a lot of faith in Lucas Reichel, and frankly, I do, too. But it can help spell things out a little bit easier if he's able to finish strong this year, because he will be an RFA towards the end of the season. And again, being an RFA and with the Hawks having a lot of faith in him, I'd imagine we'd see Lucas Reichel beyond this year as well. But it could make a big difference for him, judging by how he does once he returns from Rockford, which again, it looks like that's going to be the case. We've got more to get to. We're also hopefully going to hear from the Blackhawks dressing room and head coach Luke Richardson when we come back. We'll take your calls. We'll take your texts. 312-981-7200. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 5-0 tonight from the United Center. Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.
Deflects away into the near corner. Lasik lost it up the boards. Here's Deneau, high slot. Put it over. Left wing circle, Roy. Sent it over, and a one-time shot from Fiala from the right circle, and a scrambling, sprawling save by Peter Mrazek. He really had to recover.
Can we forget about what happened tonight? Might have to. 5-0 loss for the Hawks as they fall to the LA Kings. First matchup of three between these two teams goes to LA. Again, these teams will be matching up against each other just next week out in California, and then actually wrapping up the regular season April 18th out in L.A. So this was the only matchup between the Kings and Hawks here at the United Center. I'm Joe Brand. This is the Blackhawks postgame show. We're taking you up to 11 o'clock tonight as we recap this 5-0 loss. You just heard the save of the game, which is sponsored by ComEd for Business. ComEd, powering business, powering lives. It was a really strong outing for Peter Mrazek tonight. He actually had 20 saves in this game. I'm pretty sure that's right, because Peter, or I should say, Arvid Sutterbloom was pulled after 15 shots on goal. So let's make it 21 saves for Peter Mrazek tonight, because once Mrazek came in the first period, the LA Kings did not get a shot off on goal on him. There was an elevation of play from the Hawks once the goalie swap had been made, and sometimes that's just the main goal for the head coach, to just change things up and light a fire under the team, whether it's the goalie's fault or not. I mean, the Hawks did go on a power play. That was probably their best-looking power play of the night out of the, I want to say, four that they had. They generated a few more chances, just crisp passing, and a lot of the same tendencies we had seen in the last couple of games when power play had looked really good. And they just got very physical, too. Jason Dickinson going at it with Blake Lizotte, two strong hits on him, and then Ryan Donato had one as well. In fact, I've really been impressed by Ryan Donato's game as of late. I've been impressed by him all year long, but I think he's also turned it up a notch in terms of being more aggressive with the puck, just trying to make things happen offensively. He had four shots on goal tonight. That actually co-led the team. He had six hits tonight that did lead the team by four. He did not factor in with a plus-minus. He played 15 minutes and 8 seconds on the ice, and Ryan Donato just doing a lot of good things. We'll give him our player with the most heart, which is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Northwestern Medicine is home to the state's leading heart and vascular program, top-ranked for 16 straight years by U.S. News and World Report. We do have sound from the Blackhawks dressing room. I want to go to Landon Slaggart in just a moment, but I want to get to the text line first. If you'd like to join us, 312-981-7200. How many... Oh, boy, I thought I read this question correctly earlier. How many man games have the Blackhawks lost this season, and how does that compare to the rest of the NHL? I don't know if that means, like, not bringing it, if this is a false gender assertive question, man games or not. I thought you were just asking about the schedule, or rather the record and where they fit in the standings. But again, the Hawks, with the second least points in the NHL, they're ahead of the San Jose Sharks, who they host on Sunday, but they do have two games played. They've played two more games than the San Jose Sharks have, but again, right now the Hawks with 41 points, the Sharks with 39 at the bottom of the standings. Let's hear from the guy who made his NHL debut tonight in Landon Slaggart.
Yeah, it was obviously a great experience. Good to get my feet wet out there. The guys did a great job making me feel comfortable, specifically my line mates, Twisty and Donato, really just gave me some pointers out there and just allowed me to play my game.
Anything surprise you about the first game?
You know, there's always nerves and a little more energy, you know, kind of built up going into it. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still hockey, but there are obviously some great players out there. So I felt like I held my own, and it's definitely a game to build on.
Your first shift coming shorthanded, I'm not sure many guys have claimed that before.
Yeah, definitely. I was a little surprised, but you know, maybe it's a better way to get the feet wet out there and you know, just go to work.
Could you hear the chair? That it sounded like there was a chair from your section during during the PK. Could you hear that, or did you?
No, I was pretty locked into the moment. Couldn't hear, but yeah, definitely have a lot of supporters in the crowd. So it was great to have everyone in attendance.
What did it feel like having all of your teammates from Notre Dame on the glass for your rookie lap in a warm-ups?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I actually forgot the pucks when I was going out, so I didn't get a rookie shot, but it's cool. When I was winding around the net, I got to see all the guys supporting my jerseys too, so it was definitely awesome to have them supporting me and here in Chicago.
That's pretty cool. He told us before the game that about 40 friends and family were going to be in attendance, former coaches and whatnot, but I didn't realize all of his teammates from the Notre Dame hockey team were there, too. There definitely was a huge group right up on the glass for him. Apparently so much in the moment, being so big he forgot the pucks. That's pretty funny, too. Very interested and excited to see his progression in this last month of the regular season. Jason Dickinson, who, again, we were talking about his physicality, especially in that first period, also chatted with the media. Let's hear from Dickinson.
It's a team that has very interesting structure that's hard to defeat, and when they play to it, and they play to it really well, they're able to transition quick and sustain offense. They put a lot of pucks to the net, and they recover them in the O zone, so sometimes sprayed pucks causes a lot of confusion, and they get moving around, and seams open up, guys open up on backside, and we make it difficult on our goalies to make those saves because it's wide open net.
What's interesting about their structure?
They play a very detailed 1-3-1. The D-man seems to sag back to the corner early so he can get to any dump pucks, any rims. They're very... they know exactly what they're doing on every puck, so everybody's moving in sync. When they're not in sync, it's when it doesn't look very good. It looks very slow, and it looks like they're not playing very well, but when they do it really well, they look connected, they look fast, they look like they're able to make plays all up the ice.
You have two games more against them, including one next week. Is there something you can learn from?
Absolutely. I mean, if we don't learn from it, then what was the point of losing 5-0? You know, it's something that we can use as a lesson to say, okay, this is what beat us. If we do the same recipe, they're going to beat us again. So I think we have to look at the video and say, okay, these are the openings. This is what works. I think we hit. There was one window that we hit where Mac cut across the blue line, and it breaks their 1-3-1 because we get in the zone with possession and entry. And that D-man that's sagging back now has a tough gap to get up on him and defend the shot. He did a good job of defending the shot, but it's those plays that will create difficulty for them.
You feel for Soderblom after night like this?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I can't think of one of those goals that's his fault. Like, those are plays on the back post that we can't give up because our goalie's got to honor the shot, so we have to be responsible to take those pucks on the backside for them.
What did you think of Landon tonight in his debut?
I thought he looked good. I thought he was moving his feet really well. He was reading the ice well. I didn't see him out of position too much. I wasn't analyzing too hard, obviously, because first game, you know, it just... excited, you want to get out there, you want to make an impression, and I think biggest thing is play with energy and passion and just have fun with it.
How deflating is it when a team hits you with four in the first period, yet knowing that you got two periods to play?
Yeah, I mean, it's not the first time it's happened to us, so it's something we're all too familiar with, and we need to be a lot better in the first period coming out, and even if we don't have our best, finding a way to get out of the period 1-0, 0-0, 2-0, whatever it may be, so that we can give ourselves a chance in the second and third period. But once you give up four like that, it's a tough task against any team. And like I said about their structure, it's even harder. It's very hard to break through their structure.
Again, Jason Dickinson recapping a 5-0 loss for the Hawks to the LA Kings. Going back to the earlier texter where I had misread the question and kind of misunderstood it too. How many games have been missed by players this season by Blackhawks players in terms of missing, or rather, how many man games have the Hawks lost this season? I mean, just to put it into perspective, Taylor Hall played opening night and then his last game was November 19th. He ended up missing, let's see, three games towards the end of October. So basically, like, the injury bug was a factor in the first month of the season. By the end of October, the Hawks were already dealing with missing players on the roster due to injury. Get more clarification from the texter. It's an injury versus games question. How many games has Taylor Hall missed? How many games has Andreas Athanasiou missed? Add up all those games. Got it. Thank you for the math homework. I'm actually going to do this after this break because we got to hear from Luke Richardson, and I do want to get you a clear answer on that because I do think it's useful data. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 5-0. We're recapping it on the Blackhawks postgame show, 720 WGN.
Now Thrawn left side, throws in deep behind the goal line. There's Costin to take for San Jose. He corrals the puck, sends to the middle, went through everybody. Vlasic holds in, shoots one toward the net, save made. Granlund in front, they score! Klim Costin gets the pass in front of the net, and what a job! The Sharks have tied the game 3-3 with Costin's first goal in a San Jose uniform, and that play is all Mikael Granlund.
Dan Rusinowski of the Sharks Audio Network. That's the Blackhawks' next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks fall to the LA Kings 5-0 tonight here at the United Center. Let's hear from the head coach, Luke Richardson.
The LA Kings? That's one thing. I think it was a little bit of both tonight. I think we didn't probably have our best game, but they really played well, and they're a big, heavy team. We had a hard time, winning puck battles, and I think that was a big difference tonight.
Talking about how their 1-3-1 is kind of tough to break down.
Yeah, no, we've played that on other teams this year. I don't think that was so much the problem. We just didn't have the puck enough, really, to... And when we did, we were tired. So one guy's changing or everybody's changing. I thought we just, I know in the third period the game was out of reach. But, even in the first period, I thought, after the first couple shifts, we had a hard time getting pucks back. So we spent way too much time chasing the puck. And then when we got it, we were basically on, an empty tank or one guy was by himself. Someone else was changing. So they did a good job in that area tonight. And that's when they're playing their best. That's what they're really good at.
How did you see the first four goals? Like, was it somewhat Arvid's fault? All of it?
No, I don't think so. I think he could. I think in the penalty kill, we talked about trapping the top off on that side because both power plays have a right-handed one-timer, and that got through, and it went off the end wall, and Arvid's just trying to recover, and they got a fortunate bounce right on the tape, and it was a good shot, I think there was a tip. That we're beside the guy, but they're just good. They're strong. They could absorb. I think Tenorti was doing his best that he could box him out, but the guy still got his stick free, and that just shows the signs of their size and strength. They can withstand that. And I think at the fourth goal, we just decided to make a change. We needed to spark something with the team more than taking Arvid out of there.
It feels like there are times where he comes too far out of the net. I know you're not a goalie coach, but does that feel like that to you? Like he leaves the back door open too often.
Yeah, well, I think on the one back door play, that's wide open. I think we really mishandled. I think that was might have been a fourth one, a third one, I guess. Maybe it was the one where Kurashev was back checking. A little miscommunication with the D. We got everybody stuck on that side, and that's a hard one because guys coming right down the middle, you got to honor that. And they put it over to Kopitar, and he pretty much had 4x6 to shoot at. So, I don't really fault him on the goals tonight. I think it was just the circumstances of the game.
It's got to be a little bit of a confidence killer. He's had a few of those type of games.
Yeah, but I think he's got to feel good about even the three or four games before he got the couple wins. It was building back up, and one game he can't let it come down. And I think he's shown in the past where he's pretty solid mentally that he should be okay with that. And we'll make sure that he knows that the circumstances tonight. That just happens. It's too early in the game to burn a timeout because it wasn't that far out of reach. If it's 3-0 or 4-0, you never know what can happen. There's a lot of game left to use your one timeout, and you have nothing at the end of the game. So the other way to do it is to send a message by changing the goaltender. And the guys had the right things on the bench, said the right things on the bench. We just couldn't get it accomplished on the ice.
Official news coming from the Blackhawks just now. Lucas Reichel has officially been recalled from Rockford, signing Zach Sanford down to the AHL. Back to the texter who was questioning about the man games. I do apologize for not understanding the question, and even our own Troy Murray was trying to help me out, saying it was in the game notes. I don't have an exact number for you, but doing some quick math, the Hawks didn't have Connor Bedard for 15 games this year, didn't have Seth Jones for 16 games this year, didn't have Tyler Johnson for 16 games this year. Taylor Hall's been out for 57 games and counting this year. That doesn't even include Connor Murphy, too, but clearly a ton of absences for the Hawks, which has not been easy for them. The only other game that happened tonight, the Anaheim Ducks in Winnipeg.
They've won over 70% of faceoffs tonight. Monahan won that one. This is Shifley. Shoots, looking for a redirect. And Toffoli's got another. Well, if you're going to get one, you might as well get two. Tyler Toffoli again, and it's 5-0.
The former L.A. King picking up two goals with his new team in the Winnipeg Jets. Winnipeg winning that game 6-0 over Anaheim. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers. Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. And Northwestern Medicine. Big thanks to all the help we had here and all the help back at the WGN Radio Studios. Our production crew of Patrick Hennessy and Michael DeLeonardis, led by the captain, Brett Jackson. Here at the United Center, Jack Heinrich was our reporter. Our Hall of Fame engineer was Paul Zerang. John Weideman and Troy Murray had the call. For everyone that I mentioned, Hawks fall 5-0 to LA.